Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about prejudice and inclusion. Now, it's a really hot topic, this, and some of you might be thinking, why is he covering this? What's it got to do with health and well-being and medicine? Actually, quite a lot, because all of us have what is known as unconscious bias. And beyond that, some of us have fairly open prejudices that can affect how we interact with others, and in my experience, not only affect the relationship that clinicians have with patients, but also how people report symptoms, and in medicine and nursing and healthcare professions, can actually affect your professional progress. So it's quite a trenchant, sensitive topic, this. And for those of you that can be triggered by this, I would think twice about continuing to listen, because there'll be some uncomfortable stories that I'll be sharing with you. The first thing I'd say is that I am so thankful that protected characteristics exist these days, because whatever prejudice people have, it is now illegal to discriminate on grounds of age, gender, civil partnership status, pregnancy, disability, race, sex, sexual orientation, and religious belief. And it's interesting, because the world was moving in the right direction for me. From my lens, anyway, you know, I'm a 49-year-old man who has grown up, was born in the UK and has grown up here, lived all my life here. But of course, my parents are from an ethnic minority background who were immigrants from India. And so I've grown up with a lot of stories about discrimination, about the struggles that my parents had, or names that they were called in public. And I've been there, you know, I've experienced it myself. More so when I was younger. So where did it all go wrong? When I say I thought things were moving in the right direction, what did I mean, and what am I basing that on? Well, I think two things, really. You can't change someone's attitude very easily. So if someone is racist or sexist, or perhaps their own beliefs mean that they are just not willing to even relate or try to relate to a different community to their own, in the broadest sense. And this really fascinates me, because people are very split on this. How do you retain some form of your own identity and culture, whatever that might be? It doesn't have to be religious, it doesn't have to be based on sexual orientation, it doesn't have to be based on anything. But A, what creates culture and what creates identity, and B, whatever your tribe is, how can that stop being an entity where everyone gets on and respects each other? The reality is, it's not always possible. So I know people who absolutely 100% think that heterosexuality is the only sexual orientation that should be allowed, in inverted commas. And that means they have a real problem with the LGBTQ community. I also know people who believe that their religion is the only true religion and that everyone else is, well, going to hell, I guess. And on top of that, people also have unconscious bias. So the ones I've just explained are pretty explicit. You know, they're out there and these people are not embarrassed about their belief and in some cases their prejudice, I guess. But the harder one is where people don't voice anything and they have a hidden agenda or a hidden prejudice or one that they're not even aware of, which is this unconscious bias. And that's a tricky one because that's where you've got someone who says, hey, you know what? I'm not prejudiced at all. I've, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. I've never, ever said or felt that I have any negative feelings towards any type of community. But actually, in the way that you do things and the way that you work and your attitudes, you display something called unconscious bias. I'm going to come on to that a little bit later, and there's a great link in the show notes about that. I guess the other really difficult issue is how prejudice is received and dealt with. And I'm going to sort of use a simple example of this. I remember being called, I'll just call it the P word. It's a racial slur that's used against Asians. And, you know, I had it countless times throughout my life. And I was recounting this to a friend many years ago. And her riposte was, well, yeah, it's just the same as me being called blonde. I'd be really interested to hear people's views on that because I don't think it is the same. There's something very incisive and hate-fueled about racist slurs that isn't about, you know, although they are maligning, and I disagree with them, the jokes, the historic jokes about people being blonde. And of course, the connotations there being generally negative. I think this is a really difficult area because once you start comparing wounds, that in itself can cause division. My kind of philosophy is to be aware that everyone has these and they all cut to slightly different depths depending on who you are. What I'm most impressed about is the horror stories that I hear from the generation above. And, you know, stories of people trying to rent properties in London and they would have a sign up saying, you know, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish. I mean, absolutely unthinkable and beyond hurtful. I mean, I just can't imagine walking past something like that and accepting it. So one way around this, bearing in mind, look, you know, we are where we are at the moment in 2022, looking at what's happening in the world. I mean, prejudice is still rife. I mean, the way that, for example, the way that you're dealt with as a patient or a member of the public by certain authorities really varies depending on your background, whether that's your ethnicity or sexuality. You know, it's not equal. So this may be a bit contentious, but it's never going to be absolutely equal. That is the reality. And, you know, I have friends, colleagues, people I know who are white and male who are afraid that they're not going to get that promotion because they feel that the focus on equality and diversity has moved so far that there is now discrimination almost against them. That's another thing to think about. But we've also lost a lot of nuance. I remember years ago, a guy I used to work with who was from Nigeria, he made a joke. He said, oh, I bet all your brothers work in IT because I'm Asian. You know, he was giggling as he said it. He was stereotyping in a jokey way. And I said to him, actually, no, I've got one brother and he doesn't work in IT. I kind of answered it straight. And, you know, then there are other people who think they're being culturally aware. Like someone came to my house once and asked me how I get turmeric stains off my kitchen worktop because it's white, like we eat curry every night. Because I know this person, I know she didn't mean it in a derogatory way. And again, I answered it straight. I said, do you know what? We got samples of four different types and tried turmeric, soy sauce and ketchup and mustard on all of them. And this one came out best. And it's very hard to know these days what to take offence around and what is deemed offensive. One of my worries is no one's going to be able to sort of speak or say anything to anyone, because a lot of this is about how the person receiving what they're receiving perceives it. One that I found interesting recently was, this is from a friend of a friend at work. A male colleague said to a female colleague that she looked nice when she turned up to an office party. And she took offence to this because she felt he was treating her like a piece of meat. So that's a good example of something where a comment that may be innocent and, you know, is just something people say, isn't it? Oh, you look nice, can actually be offensive. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of what happened, you know, and the context of it, obviously, but still, it's something to be aware of. So what's the solution to all this? I don't really know, but I mean, there are some basic things, aren't there? Firstly, never using someone's condition or identity in a derogatory way. Sadly, I still hear that. People often use the word schizo or schizophrenic, you know, totally inappropriately. And another one really is not to be patronising, you know, so it's really easy to try to compliment someone and it just comes across all wrong. For example, telling someone, you know, a person of colour that they speak very good English. I would hope I do because I was born here. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't. Or a funny one that happened to me the other day is an elderly gentleman. It was a very hot week. And he said to me, oh, I bet you like all this hot weather. It must remind you of home. To which I said, well, you know, Brighton's not always sunny because that's where I grew up. Anyway, I don't think he meant it in a bad way. But, you know, what he was seeing was someone with dark skin. And that reminded him of tropical climates and the fact that it was hot. And so it's really complicated. Coming full circle, just in terms of how this affects how we access health and the assumptions that people make, a lot of it is to do with unconscious bias. And it's interesting, this isn't from a healthcare background, but I remember I was at a fast food place many years ago, and I noticed that the chap serving was calling everyone sir, but then when I stepped up, he didn't call me sir. And I thought, maybe that's because I'm young. No, not really, because the guy in front of me definitely looks younger. And it was like an unconscious bias, I think, where he just sort of, I don't know, couldn't call me sir for whatever reason. But if you extrapolate that and look at healthcare, you know, in healthcare, we treat everyone the same. That's one of the tenets of good quality medicine. But actually, if you drill down, what happens is the practitioner often makes assumptions about someone's educational level, what kind of information they can impart. And what you're really meant to do is check that person's understanding at every level. But, you know, not just assume that because someone used to do business and fly on Concorde to the States every week for face-to-face meetings that he's going to understand more about a condition than someone who is out of work and lives locally in your community, or vice versa. And one of the things I did several years ago was I looked at presentations of conditions. You know, say someone came in with back pain for, you know, and they needed analgesia, quite a sort of common thing that happens in primary care. What I found was actually the language I used, depending on the patient's age, was different when I sort of actually watched myself, if you like, and looked back on my own consultations. So in my head, I'm tailoring the language to the patient, I think. But actually, is there an unconscious bias there? Possibly. So apart from the links that I'm going to post down below, which I really hope you look at, my sort of strategy for this is, number one, never assume. Number two, constantly check where you're at with the other person. Number three, as a healthcare practitioner, is just do your best and pretend that, you know, you are treating a relative. You know, treat the person as you would want to be treated yourself, or a relative of yours to be treated. And finally, I think if you notice anything that needs calling out, call it out. If you're not sure, ask a friend, take advice. The reality is, we're all the same. We are all members of the human race. We've got to get along. We've got to treat each other with kindness and dignity. And in such austere times, it's difficult to remember that. Everyone thinks of their own needs, and suddenly these divisions, particularly in terms of what the political powers that be are doing, these divisions can become much more obvious, and it's easy to focus on them. But we really mustn't. I sometimes look around town, and when I see young children and how they have way less in terms of filters than adults, it's wonderful. And I do wish in a way that we were all a bit more like that, where everyone just talks to everyone and no one cares really about all of the things that are at the back of our minds, because we now worry so much that we're going to offend people. And I think a good in to avoid, you know, worrying about these things is talking about something else. So if you notice people going to, I don't know, a street party together, or to watch their, you know, children play netball or cricket or football or whatever, there's something in common there that you can talk about. And it's a real gently approach. It's something I've seen works so well, actually, at my daughter's school. They have events where parents make food, like an International Food Day type of thing. I don't think that was what it was actually called, but it's wonderful. You know, there's a lot of sharing and a lot of learning, and I think that's the way we need to move forward to progress. I guess my final thought is about similarities and differences. It's always better to focus on similarities rather than differences. And years ago, there was a lady I knew who managed to, in her words, find a suitable groom for her daughter. And she was so excited because, you know, the family that he had come from was exactly the same as theirs, you know, in terms of religion, social status, and whatever you want to call it. And what was interesting is, after about a year, after the wedding, things didn't work out. And when I saw her again, she said, oh, you know, we didn't like the way that they cooked their food in their house, and we didn't like this and that. And it just goes to show that actually, you know, in these tribes, if you want to call them that, they're, you know, what might appear to be, you know, a kind of perfect match actually isn't. You can find differences amongst the most similar people. And, you know, rather than make an issue of them, it's better to celebrate them, learn from them, and focus on similarities. Okay, so a bit of a long-winded and slightly circuitous episode there, but I wanted to just throw that out there because I think it is something that is difficult to deal with, and it's not going away. You know, it would be amazing if everything was always equal for everyone, but unfortunately, it's a continuous work in progress, and we can only do our very best. I normally end with a quote, and I think it'd just be trite ending on a quote with, well, for this particular episode, but I was trying to think of something that I could sum this up with. Well, the first thing I would say is, do look at the links. And the second, just to wrap this up, is judgment, I think, comes from fear. And a lot of people also fear being judged. And if you can remember that every time you feel one of those emotions beginning to surface, then I think you're doing pretty well, because you will respond in the right way. Very last thing, in classic me style, I never got to the point about why I thought things were getting better. And that was some years ago when suddenly racism became illegal. Same-sex marriage was legalized, and suddenly it felt as though there was some solidarity in the world. And very much popular culture seemed to back that up in terms of the movies we watch, the kind of chat shows that we watch. You know, the world is definitely more diverse. What's going against that so much are events in recent modern history. Wars, 9/11, the death of George Floyd. There are many, many more. And the point is that these events and the political landscape that we've lived through create a huge amount of trauma and can stir up hate. And given the fact that nowadays we all look at our own feeds on social media, it's very possible that you're walking down the road opposite someone who has entirely different views to you because of these events. And I think, you know, to sum things up, that is part of the problem. You've got to stay true to yourself. And as I say, we're all a work in progress, and inclusion, equality, all of this is work in progress. Okay, I'm going to stop there before I get distracted again. Listen, thank you for listening. I know that was an unusual episode. I hope it's made you think, like all of these episodes are meant to. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts. Do let me know, and I will be with you again very soon. In the meantime, do take care. Stay well. Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.